Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record that from the sixth to the ninth hour, darkness covered the earth. That means from noon to three, the brightest part of the day, the earth was dark. And out of that darkness, the man Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now these words take us into the greatest depths of the Christian faith. On the one hand, we see Jesus feeling abandoned, deserted, and forsaken by God. And in one sense, he is. Christ is forsaken as the ultimate sin bearer. And because of that, he is despised and rejected by the Father who hates sin and condemns the guilty. God's wrath pours out on the forsaken Christ, who drinks the cup of God's wrath down to its very dregs. But Jesus also says the words, my God. Those aren't the words of an unbeliever. Jesus still knows his Father, and he calls him his God. And so it is. Jesus' question is not out of unbelief, but rather, it is a question that calls to remembrance God's promise never to leave his people. It's as if Jesus said, God, why have you forsaken me because you said you would not? In other words, God, I feel as if you have abandoned me, yet your word tells me otherwise. In his hour of agony, the Son of God, true God and true man, perceives to have been abandoned while he willingly accomplishes the will of his Father, who doesn't go back on his word. God remembers. He remembers his promises. And he hears your cries. Even when faith compels you to say, God, where are you? I said this question takes us into the depths of the Christian mystery and faith. But for some of you, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense because on more than one occasion, you have found yourself wandering in darkness, crying for an escape from a situation where it appears as if God is gone, nowhere to be found. In our daily struggles with sin, it's not uncommon for the Christian battling that raging, corrupted flesh to think maybe, just maybe, the God they worship and serve, the God they think they believe in, has vanished. And now here you are, lonely, deserted, abandoned, forsaken. In so many ways, Jesus' cry from the cross, it's our cry. It's our question when we suffer, when we're afflicted, as we traverse a world groaning under sin. It's our question too. My God, why have you forsaken me? When you ask that question, reflect upon the first part of that question. My God, you are addressing your God. Your Heavenly Father, who hears your cries and who has given you his word that he doesn't abandon his children. My God, your God has not left you in your hour of suffering, even if your flesh says otherwise. God is clear to say, in this life, yes, we mourn and suffer. Such are the consequences of sin. But as you suffer, remember, you do so with God's promise that on the other side of suffering is glory. His glory. The death of Christ was an atrocious event, but we can see and hear from God's word what this event accomplished. The curtain, the veil separating mankind from the Holy of Holies is severed top to bottom. The earth shakes, the rocks split, the tombs are open. This is at the ninth hour when the darkness goes away. Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? The ninth hour of darkness gives way to light upon the world as Jesus breathes his last. The tombs are opened. The dead saints arise after his resurrection, Scripture says. After his resurrection. Note those words. Now, the record of saints rising from the tombs is a sublime event that Matthew records. And though every nuance of it is difficult to understand, there is one truth at least within it, and that is the rising of the saints after the resurrection of Jesus tells us not only does Jesus rise from the dead, but the saints, the believers, the ones washed in the blood of the Lamb, they too will rise and live bodily forever with their God. And this happens because of Christ, who dies and rises to make it so. All of this was the plan. Even when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He hangs and finishes the work to redeem you, to rescue you, to give you a resurrection of the body. When you cry out to your God, wondering where he is in your moment of affliction, he's never left you. And he has you in his hands telling you that this is not the end. Death is not the final verdict for God's children, but life, abundant life, God gives. I know trials and tribulations are never fun to endure, but they do teach us something that we need to learn. In the book of Hebrews, we hear this verse, "The Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives." Divine discipline teaches us not to rely on the flesh, which is corrupted by sin, and the sinful flesh, Christian, will drive you from God and will cause you to seek sanctuary and other things that do not save. When we go through trials and we're compelled to cry out to God asking where he is at, that's good. That's good because when we are reduced to nothing, recognizing we have nothing to offer when it comes to salvation, then we recognize where salvation is found and where it is freely given. Self-righteousness goes away pretty quickly when our hearts are filled with contrition and sorrow, and we are moved to seek God's mercy and his healing, his righteousness and his forgiveness, yours by faith in your crucified Savior. By his blood shed, every sin shaking creation and corrupting even ourselves have been atoned for, paid in full by he who hung on the cross to do it. Faith looks at the crucifixion and sees atonement by blood. We see that in the darkness of sin enveloping the world, there is still a light that shines brighter than sin, brighter than death, and by that light, you have something man cannot earn. By the light of Jesus, you have what he has won for you, liberty from death, life the law cannot condemn, salvation and sins forgiven. So when you find yourself groping about in the darkness, questioning whether or not God is even with you, hear his promise, his word, that says not only is your Lord with you, but he has you in his hands from which you will never leave. He died to rescue you from evil, and not even your suffering and sorrow can take that away. The forsaken one has redeemed you and promises you that resurrection of the body. And so when you say, my God, you call upon the one who hears your voice, the one who has baptized you, the one who holds you close to his chest and says, fear not. I've called you by name. You are mine. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.